keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon. Visit coldslitherpodcast.com, then click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the right of the page. Scroll down and you'll be able to shop at Amazon through us. There you can buy books, games, movies, music, and much more at Amazon, while at the same time helping us manage the cost of our network and keep our podcast free for you.
The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Finally, welcome to another episode of the Clip Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. Yay! I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G.
Yay! Da-da-da!
It's not so easy, is it, Dirk?
I'm trying. I don't know what I'm doing here.
We've got the full house tonight. We've got Agent 70, Rowdy Cat, PC and Dirt, and myself.
You can decide who that's for.
That's funny.
Google Plus was giving us some difficulties, which is why we're laughing, because we've been trying to start the show for an hour now. So it will be a very abbreviated intro and news segment this week. Most important thing is go to theclicknation.com and go to popculturenetwork.com.
There you go, ching ching.
And our Twitter accounts are on the bottom of the screen, or you'll hear them at the end of the show. So, oh, and also go to coldslitherpodcast.com and commentrelated.com. All right.
Oh, no. Tim's coming.
Let's go on to, I see one that talks to me. Gotham reportedly casts its Lucius Fox. I'm assuming for season two. DC is creating their own Justice League in the Arrow Flash TV universe as they're casting for some new show where supposedly they're taking three characters, the Canary, the Doctor from the one half of Firestorm, and was it Captain Cold? Oh, and Adam. The Adam are the heroes, and Captain Cold is somehow involved, and they had a casting call for a time traveler, a Latino woman, I believe, and then like a black guy.
All right. So,
take your guesses at who those people could be. Okay, so Valiant announces massive new investment and development deal with Chinese film company DMG. DMG is the same company that I believe backed Iron Man 3 and a couple of other films.
Okay.
Transformers 4, I think, was another one.
That was their mistake.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm like, that's not the best thing to cite as a part of the track record, right?
And the films made money, I guess, is one thing. So
that's true.
Especially overseas. They basically helped help promote the movies overseas, which, of course, that's become more and more important to studios nowadays. So Valiant will be bringing some of their products to TV and movie screens in the near future. The more the merrier.
I think so.
I say. Just a couple of Suicide Squad castings. Joel Kinnaman is going to be playing, was it Rick Flagg?
Presumably.
And then they supposedly have a guy cast as Deathstroke. Because I was like, I thought, what's his name, was Deadshot. Too many deads.
Yeah, so here's the real fun thing about that. The guy for this is, why am I getting echo? Wait a minute. Anyway, the guy that got almost kind of looks like the dude off the TV show. Because he played on True Blood, and people know him if they saw him.
Yes. So, big cast. Supposedly he's going to, Deathstroke's supposed to be Amanda Waller's bodyguard or right-hand man in the film. So James Gunn let slip that Marvel Studios more than likely would not be at San Diego Comic-Con this year, which everyone flipped out about.
Yeah, because at this point it was kind of like, hey, well, you know, why wouldn't they? But Disney's got their own thing going on, so they could do it there.
They can do it their own
way.
Yes. They probably have their own convention.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
In August, I believe it is. So. I mean, but so they've already announced like every single movie up until 2018, so there's not much else to announce unless they castings or whatnot, or footage, I guess.
No, Luke's going to join the Avengers.
Yeah, right.
So now there's going to be a male Ghostbusters movie with Channing Tatum. And I read something saying, like, that's the male version, of course.
Oh, wow. We got gremlins all over the place. They're going in and out on us, Tim.
I am.
Yeah.
Yep, it's about to happen.
That's great.
Actually, I can put myself up twice on the MacBook, so once the Windows machine goes out.
I love it. I love it. Somehow I'm in on this. I'm in on this Hangout twice also. I'm not sure how this happened.
Are you?
Isn't your tablet still connected?
I just rebooted my tablet, so that's very weird.
Let me see if I can kick you off. Eject.
And then he's gone for good now.
He's gone. All right. Yeah,
say, it'll kick both of y'all out.
Funny. No. It kicked out the former, not the latter, I guess. So, all right. Yeah, I see that there's an right. I see there's an announcement here for Tron 3. Did I miss something?
Yeah. It leaked from a Vancouver blog, basically, that they had lockdown locations to begin filming in October. And so once the word got out, they started pressing Disney for details, and Disney confirmed that, what's his name, Kolinsky?
Joe Kolinsky.
Whatever. He's actually confirmed to come back and direct it, but they don't have any details beyond that. So they've confirmed that the director's coming back, they've confirmed that they have locations set to shoot in October, but they haven't revealed any other details beyond that.
Cool. I'm happy for the fans of Tron, and that, you know, at some point I'll go back and watch the first one again, and then actually get around to watching the sequel.
And the TV show. You gotta go back and watch the TV show.
Huh. All right. Let's see. Are there any other news items that we need to address?
New Daredevil trailer.
Supergirl castings.
Mm. Did y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're all just like, whatever. I mean, as far as comic news...
A bunch of Secret War stuff. There's June Solicits from DC.
Mm-hmm. Groot is getting his own ongoing series.
Yes. Oh, I see that IDW announced the Mike Zeck Classic Marvel Stories Artist Edition. That's pretty awesome.
For which books?
Well, I'm not sure.
Is it Punisher stuff?
I'm going to open the link now and find out. I just saw that. I saw the
Captain America, Spider-Man, and Secret Wars.
Ooh, interesting. Well, they're gonna have more details. I'm gonna presume they're gonna have some Punisher stuff in there, probably from the limited series. That's gotta be pretty cool. And I see that the cover to exploit the new Secret War is gonna be the original Secret Wars cover. So. That's fun.
And, I guess the only other thing is, I don't think I see it down here, but supposedly there's a bunch of like 25 different Star Wars related books coming out.
Yeah, I took it off. Yeah, I did have it on it earlier. There's like 20 books between now and the come time of the book. I mean, yeah, like 20 books that are supposed to be coming, but that's going to bridge up until the movie comes, I guess, whatever the movie's going to be.
And then the spinoff movie is going to be called Rebel One.
Rogue One. Yeah.
Oh, and Wonder Woman and Superman are getting new outfits.
Yes.
And Flash.
Oh, Flash is getting one too?
Flash, Green Arrow. Green Arrow still looks kind of similar.
It's funny that the Wonder Woman costume is like the Adriana Palicki pilot that went nowhere.
Yeah, I think they were saying, they made a joke, it was like, yeah, Wonder Woman's got more clothes on than Superman now or something.
Ah!
I mean, Superman just has a t-shirt on, so.
Yeah, that's so it's basically like Superboy then?
Well, if you remember when they relaunched Action Comics in the New 52, he had the t-shirt
with like a tie
and jeans. Yeah. So they got rid of the cape basically and gave him the, it looks like the Kingdom Come version of the Superman symbol.
And but yes,
Wonder Woman's in the new armor. Batman's in some sort of armor now.
If that's even Bruce Wayne.
Oh, I said Batman. I didn't say Bruce Wayne.
I have a theory on that, by the way.
What's that?
At the end of Endgame, since the Joker is immortal somehow, I'm assuming his spirit or mind takes different people's bodies. Somehow his spirit will join up with Bruce Wayne's. So it'll be a superior Batman.
Oh, jeez. No. Are we all, am I going to hate read that? Two.
That's funny. You might. I'm not touching it.
That is funny. That's not a bad theory.
It's made Superior Spider-Man.
Oh, true.
Right, and then they even tried to use it on Superior Iron Man, and you know we see where that's going this week.
Sales aren't good on that. Well, and did the new issue of that come out this week?
Yes.
Yeah.
I put that in my head. Why not? Anyway.
Wait a second. They made Wonder Woman a Wolverine and put clothes on her. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
It'll sell.
Wow.
I did not put Spirit on that line here. Anyway, so that's comp news.
Yeah. Well, I'm tough with the one thing. You got a since Dirk brought it up. Well, it came up. Cobra Commander is now the mayor of Springfield. No, I'm just kidding.
He got the key to the city.
He got the key to the city. I know, but I'm just.
Yeah, this is my hometown.
He kicked out Mayor Quimby?
Oh, that's your hometown?
No. Yeah, this is my hometown. This is where I'm from. This is my actual mayor giving the key to the city to Cobra Commander.
Which is fitting, since that Springfield has history in the G.I. Joe universe also.
Yeah. Well, they're doing the G.I. Joe Con is happening here in Springfield next month. And so this is part of the... supposedly the PR to get people talking about JoeCon. The problem is they did this originally, and then I guess they put it on like their message board or something, so like nobody knew anything about it. They didn't announce it here in Springfield. It wasn't in the news here in Springfield. It wasn't sent out to like toy sites or anything like that. It wasn't until some guy found it online and started blogging about it that it actually became a news story. Uh-huh. You would think that they would, you know, try to put it in the local paper or something, but nothing happened. So it was one of those great hidden, like I heard about it from people that don't live here saying, hey, I heard this happened in your town, and I went, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. So there you go, Cobra Commander. Nice. King of the city.
Wise the mayor.
Hey, he's got better organizational skills than our current mayor, I'll tell you that.
Oh no.
But anyway, all right.
Anyway, yeah
all right, quick show.
Yes, review time.
Wait, you got to do an ad.
No ad today.
No ad?
And he can put it in post. I mean, he can put it in post.
I had to put someone at the beginning of the episode anyway, so.
All right.
Now I feel guilty.
Aww. Hold on. There you go, Ching Chang.
Let's see. We'll do it after we review a book first. Give me time to cool. Actually, okay, now I got it up. Busted Tees. This episode of Comic Book Chronicles is sponsored by Busted Tees, your home for funny, awesome, cool t-shirts that are sure to get your friends' attentions. Choose from several. I had to like insert a word also in there somewhere. Choose from several eye-catching t-shirts inspired by pop culture such as Central City Running Club, The Flash, Cover Knight Jones, Indiana Jones Frozen Cover Knight like Han Solo, All About That Echo Base, Star Wars, Quinn of Hearts, Harley Quinn, Underwood for President, House of Cards, and much more on sale. To help keep our podcast free, order from Busted Tees by going to cultsofthepodcast.com. That's cultsofthepodcast.com, then clicking on the Keep Our Podcast Free link. Click on the Busted Tees banner and then shop for awesome t-shirts. Busted Tees through cultsofthepodcast.com. Do it today.
There you go.
All right, so who wants to... We want to talk it out to first for review. We'll get to Rabum Alal. How do you say it?
Sure. Go ahead and talk to Spoiler Tank out there, even though we're not going to actually say it. Oh, wait. I guess we can't do that, huh?
Oh, you were going to. Someone's going to hit the spoiler bell. Ding, ding. There you go.
Close enough. So.
Yeah. In this issue of new. This new Avengers.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange and the priests discover who Rabum Alal is.
And it's someone we know, which...
Of course.
That shouldn't have been that big of a surprise. It was just that who it was, to me, was slightly...
So yeah, there will be spoilers. We saw who it is. So it's Doctor Doom.
Okay, well, just rip the Band-Aid.
Ding dong!
We rang the bell a couple times, so...
Yeah, I know, but...
I know.
My only question is this like a alternate version of Dr. Doom, like from the future or another dimension? Or is this the same Dr. Doom that...
No, it's the same one that we saw earlier. Yeah.
It's 616 because he's got the Mako Man in tow.
Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty much like, hey, okay, I see what's going on here, so I'm going to do what I'm going to do, basically.
But didn't he say he was trying to stop the incursions in like previous issues?
Well, he has Doom after all.
He actually said that. He just said that he's going to find out what's going on and, you know, go from there.
What do you mean find out what's going on? He's the one causing everything, right?
No.
No, he's one party to everything that's going on.
Because there's still the Beyonders, and that's what I meant to tell you the other time.
So no. Was Rabum Alal the one causing the incursions? No?
He's got the Black Swans. He's not the one causing the incursions because I think that's the Beyonders.
Isn't he? He's there to protect the library, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they mentioned the library a couple times.
So Dr. Doom is actually...
they were going through the library when they got caught, so... So yeah,
that's all. That's all that really happened this issue.
I mean, it's really about Stephen Strange and his priest trying to break through the portal into the library to figure out who's in charge of this little pocket dimension thing, and they find out it's Dr. Doom, and then that's...
Because they don't want to pay the...
And Dr. Doom is, I guess, putting himself into this position of power in the hopes that he will have enough power to destroy the Beyonder.
Which is not the first time.
Right.
Ah. Yeah, everyone wants power. Yeah.
And my thinking, I knew it was like it was going to be a future Doctor Strange, because he did get all that power like early on in the series, and he used a little bit of it just, you know, in this issue, but yeah, it wasn't the case. So yep, there we go.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was all right.
Only complaint is the Doctor Strange stuff is the most boring part of this saga. Him talking to priests.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but he had a nice little bit of action, though. And I admittedly, when the reveal came, I kind of almost facepalmed, because I was like, wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I turned the page, I was like, aww, you know?
There could be something else going on to it, but I was like, nah, that's probably it. And
I think
it was good the whole time.
Part of the problem is just that this is the like quintessential Hickman mumbo-jumbo, because you've got Black Swans, which are... something, and he's fighting against Dr. Strange's priests,
right.
Which are mm-hmm. something, and they speak in letters. When they speak the letters, it makes words, but Dr.
Right.
Strange speak words, but they go to the library, and the library has a vacuum room where you can't speak, so therefore he's unable to wield his magic, but he's the sorcerer.
Right, he's the magic, just not magic theirs.
And it's just one of those weird things where it's like all these kind of crazy concepts flowing on top of each other. Where
right, they're all colliding, really, in this
It's
issue.
Like, you understand the basics, that these are magical beings with magical powers fighting magically in a magical place, but kind of beyond that, you're not really clear what the heck's going on.
No pun intended, right?
But more Hickman mumbo jumbo. Hashtag.
So the moral of the story is... The moral of the story is libraries are magical places. Go there.
And don't...
And now you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Don't skip out on your overdue fees.
Exactly.
All right, what's next?
Here, I'll throw one out. Ant-Man number 3. I like this book.
Hey, the one book I didn't get to, that was the last thing I was going to try to read.
I read a lot this week that I did not put on the list because I found myself at appointments today and I was waiting. So, Ant-Man number 3 is among the books this week that seem to be very quirky and humorous, and I found myself enjoying them,
yeah.
You know, kind of as like one-shot deal type of books. You know, Howard the Duck is another one that's sort of like this week. Ant-Man number 3, I thought, was, you know, kind of doing a lot of the Deadpool type of breaking the fourth wall type of thing.
I kind of took it as like Burn Notice style, if anybody has ever watched that show. It's just kind of him talking to the side, not necessarily Deadpool. I guess it's not that far different, but... You know, it's just kind of like internal monologue that the audience gets to see, and not necessarily like him just turning to the page and, you know,
right.
Talking
and then,
to people.
You know, and then some of the interaction with the Taskmaster, I thought was pretty funny, and definitely read along the lines of some of the things that we think of, Scott Lang and his heroic career thus far. You know, it's kind of reading everyone's mind and kind of putting it on the page.
Right, and what apparently Scott thought about his relationship to Taskmaster, which is pretty funny.
So, you know, ultimately, you know, I had fun reading it. Like I said, there was a bunch of books this week that had very similar tones and feels to them. I wonder if this is like the funny week of Marvel books.
Possibly. Well, since you mentioned Howard the Duck,
yes,
how many people read that?
I read it.
I tried. I could not get into this book.
Really?
I got about halfway through and I just started skimming it.
Wait,
and...
you didn't stop at the training montage, did you? I had to stop, look at it, and then I saw the little blurb at the bottom that there's an actual song that it was quoting.
Right.
And I was like, wait, there's a song that has these exact lyrics? All I could think of was like Rocky IV. You know, so... You know, I had fun reading this. There were a couple funny bits in here. There's a great joke at the Black Cat's expense in this about obsessing much.
The movies.
What's that?
There's references to the movie.
Oh, yes,
the references. And another one.
Exactly, exactly. His movie, another one, and when they're finally able to open up the vault, what book they end up pulling to get the vault opening.
Oh, right.
Right. That was a kind of like a cool little thing. Yeah, there's even a shout-out to the Spider-Man movie, the most recent... No, not the most recent one. The reboot, The Amazing Spider-Man. Did you notice that one?
Wait, no, I don't think I did.
There is. If you go back to the last Spidey scene, it's actually, if you read the dialogue, or at least the...
Oh, yes. Yes. I know what you're talking about now.
So, I mean, listen, I had fun reading this. You know, even I even clued in Roddy to one of the references that was contained in the book. You know what? It's lighthearted. It's not to be taken all that seriously at this point. I don't know if it's going to have legs, if this is going to be the tone that it takes throughout. But there's always going to be someone that's looking for a book like this.
Well, see, yeah,
it's a change of pace.
Guy who's writing this is the artist for Sex Criminals, and some of the humor is there.
Right, Zdarsky, right?
Yes.
See, yeah. And I was reading it going, I know this is supposed to be funny, but just none of it really felt... Like, it felt to me like it was trying to be funny, not that it was funny.
I thought it was silly.
That's kind of a hard line to... You know, to cross when you get stuck on the side where you're trying to tell jokes, but you're not necessarily hitting them, and that's just what it felt like. A lot of it was dry and just didn't quite hit the mark like it was supposed to.
I thought the art was more humorous than the writing, like the facial expressions from Howard and like the positioning of the different panels and the layouts and the backgrounds. Everything was all that. I found myself enjoying that more than the writing.
Well, they had me at the training montage, so they just did. So, yeah. You know, I mean, listen, it's not a candidate for Click of the Week for me, but I had a good time reading. So, and like I said, there's a number of books this week that were just fun to read.
Yeah. I mean, it's Howard the Doggone Duck. You were, I'm not sure what anybody was going to be expecting from this, then it being silly.
True
in some ways.
Well, I had some high hopes, though.
Well, yeah.
All right. Star Wars 3, that was a big one this week.
Yes.
Very good.
And it wrapped up their first little arc here, where they finally escaped off of the planet, the weapons factory planet, and wrapped up that first little encounter. And I thought, you know, for being the introduction to what Marvel's version of the Star Wars universe is, this was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I've been pretty happy with all the books coming out so far.
I mean, I think, you know, one of the strengths of this book so far is that, and I know we've mentioned this earlier in reviews of previous issues, when we read the dialogue, we can hear the characters saying
them. Right.
You know, and I think that's a real strength. Like, the dialogue actually sounds very much like it would be in a Star Wars 1 or 4.1. You know what I mean? That's essentially what this is.
Yeah. And I think it also helps that it's made to be accessible. Like, it's not made for someone who's read every Expanded Universe novel. It's not made for people that have played every video game. It's not made for people who've nitpicked every plot point in all the movies. You know, it's just, here are the characters, here's a bunch of stormtroopers, you know, there's some lightsaber stuff mm-hmm. blows up, you know, it's Star Wars.
Right.
So the question is, does John Cassidy draw the next arc?
I think it took them 9 months to draw these three issues, I'm sure.
I was going to say, I think they'd be well served to do it in three-issue arcs for him, because it seems like he's on point in this, and now that this arc is over, they might want to give another artist maybe three issues so that he can catch up.
I think they might try to stretch him to six.
You think?
I think so.
The art is good.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Now, after that, they will probably change it, but I think
it looks like very badass.
Yeah.
Well, he's definitely, you know, and I've said this before, you know, he's definitely benefiting, I'm presuming, from computer-generated imagery and at least in the technical aspect, you know, so that he can sort of draw around very accurate-looking at-ats. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he's listed as the penciler on issue 4, so
okay,
we'll see what happens. Of course, issue 4 is now listed with an April 22nd
streak. Yeah.
Right.
So it's not quite hitting monthly. It's just a little over monthly. So maybe that extra week in between will help them stay on point.
As long as it falls into next month.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a 5-week schedule, that's not awful.
Yeah, but then it becomes a 6-week schedule, then it becomes a 7-week schedule.
Right, which is why I was saying, you know, maybe to give him 3 issues at a time.
We'll see.
I would have loved to believe that they would have given him enough hit. Like when the book was, the book came about, they may have given him enough, you know, to start at least 2 issues.
Listen, they tried that with Astonishing X-Men. I mean, I know it's been a while since then, but you know, but if you recall, there was a very, very long delay on Astonishing X-Men, and they cannot afford to have that kind of delay on Star Wars, given that they want to prime the pump for the new movie in 2017. We didn't announce that they actually came out with a street date for the new movie.
I didn't pay attention to it, but I did see the announcement.
Ah, but
it's like 2016 at the moment. I guess that's a year from now. I thought it was coming out in December.
December?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Is it still December?
I checked. I don't know.
Okay. Let's see. How was Walking Dead?
Terrible.
Really?
Yes. I mean, oh my God.
It's so weird to hear you say that. Elaborate.
I did a Vine comic review for this one, and I gave it 40 out of 100.
Wow.
They ended the last issue on a cliffhanger where it looked like a character had been poisoned and they were actually going to die and there was a coup going on for power, and you open up this issue and the person's actually fine and someone else decks the guy and he goes off to their little holding prison, and it's just like they keep setting up for something big to happen and there's this cliffhanger and you get the next issue and nothing happened. And this is like the 10th or 11th issue in a row, nothing is happening. This other leader of another group shows up, and they have this confrontation, and you're expecting a fight to break out. Someone's going to start, you know, firing off shots or something, and nope, nothing happens. They just have this little conversation. They do a little prisoner swap, and everybody's on their way, and no hard feelings, and that's it. And it's just kind of like, why am I still reading this? Is just what I feel like. Like, there's nothing happening. There's no drama. There's no tension. It's just month after month after month of just people living these lives, and the zombies barely even have an appearance anymore. It's like every so often they just like, oh, look, there's a zombie over there. You better shoot it, and they shoot it, and that's it. You know, it's just gotten to the point where it's no longer
like the TV show.
Well, it's even like the TV show at least has, you know, suddenly out of nowhere 20 zombies fall out of the attic and people have to fight them for 10 minutes to try to escape, and someone gets bit and torn apart. You know, you don't even get that in the comic. In the comic, it's just now about people learning how to farm.
It's a slow burn.
How do we rebuild civilization? Well, I don't care. I want to see someone get their face chewed off. Like, that's the point of reading these things, and you're not even getting that. So I'm so. If something doesn't happen soon on this book, it's just going to be one of those books that I kind of scan through every once in a while just to see if something's happened. So that's it. It sucks.
Wow.
Next book.
How's Spider-Gwen?
Spider-Gwen was all right. I like this
issue. I did read this.
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of liking the world that she's in, and she's starting to come into her own, as it were, and starting to face up to you know, the things that are going on around her and in the world. So this is just kind of the first step to that, and she didn't have any major fights. She just had some internal, I presume, internal monologue with a certain spider pig.
I had a good time reading, and, you know, I'm going to have to go back and read the first issue again just to kind of recap, you know, what happened in that, because I couldn't recall right away when I was reading this. I was just having a lot of fun reading this issue. I had a much better time reading this issue than I did the first one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you start to see, you know, the world start to come together a little bit. Yeah, and her place is, well, and it's fun to find out her place in it, which is probably going to come, you know.
Right. All right. Let's see. What else do you... What do you think of Ms. Marvel number 13?
I thought it was adorable.
I thought it was such a well-done issue, especially after what was... My notes remind me that it was just a really awkward guest appearance by Loki in the last issue.
Yes.
You know, the Valentine's Day dance centric issue. This issue really moved the character forward, lays out some interesting plot developments and interesting new characters for her to deal with. And I thought that this was a great jumping on point for anyone that you want to introduce this character to.
Right. And it's also showing that she's growing as a hero, and then in turn as a person herself,
right,
during the course of the issue, because I was about to say, no, she didn't have a training montage, but, well, actually, she did, actually.
She did, sort of.
Yes, yeah, because they, you know, you first see her training in the, Inhumans danger room, whatever it was.
Right.
You know, and you see her just kind of come together and then the subsequent fights and everything that was happened after that or in between that.
See, and now we just need to play Hearts before. On Fire, that's all. And, exactly. You know. But yeah, I had, like you said, you know, there's definitely some developments on the heroic end for Kamala. There's some, I guess, foreshadowing of Kamala's involvement with Inhumans that are other than the ones that inhabit New Attilan. So.
Yes, and a possible love interest, or you know.
Which was funny. That part made me laugh out loud because if anyone here has ever dealt with being set up by family, I thought that was one of the funniest scenes.
Right. I enjoyed that one also.
You know, like seriously, this issue, I mean, you sort of need to lay out the groundwork for the character before you introduce, you know, someone who may not be familiar with the character or even read comics. This may not be the easiest jumping on point, but I feel like it's a fun issue that, you know, kind of crosses so many levels and genres that can be appealing to, you know, just about any reader. So this isn't the worst jumping on point, you know, for anyone, especially a new reader.
Right. And with the whole potential love interest stuff, I feel like that's a little, and maybe this is a cynical view, a little too good to be true, but one way or the other is going to introduce, you know, some growth to her, to Kamala.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I had, this is one of my click of the week candidates. It's a strong one, too.
Yeah. Good one.
I'm going to jump to Thor number 6.
Yes.
Where we see the origin of Dario Agger. Ooh. See Thor Odinson on his search to find out the true identity of the new Goddess of Thunder, and we get more clues as to who the Goddess of Thunder is, and pretty much a big clue.
Yeah, I mean, come on, it was circled at one point, so I think that's who it is.
It wasn't who I thought it was, but...
Okay, now I'm curious to read it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, spoiler alert, there's a really cool scene in here with someone who I thought it would be.
Yeah, me too. Maybe,
you know, there's a couple of really cool scenes in here with this particular character, and, you know, it's nice to see that particular storyline carrying over from Thor, God of Thunder. So, you know, Dauterman's art on this, I thought was... actually a little bit more super heroic than it has been in recent issues. Did you notice that?
It was kind of more subdued. There wasn't any crazy fights for him to go crazy with.
Right. I mean, it was more, you know, actually what's funny is that I thought that the layouts and the art was a little bit more standard superhero fare than Dauterman's, you know, kind of not all over the place layouts, but it was a little less Dauterman, you know, like I wouldn't have been able to pick out his style, whereas some of the earlier issues were definitely, you know, kind of unique to his way of doing art.
Right. But yeah, another enjoyable issue. Quickly, I'll just say Ninjak number 1 was a good first issue from Valiant. It was good to see Clay Mann on a ongoing book again from his work with Marvel. So basically, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, were you familiar with Ninjak at all before this? Like from the old Valiant universe?
Not from the old Valiant, but the new. He was a member of the Unity, back when I actually used to read Unity.
Hmm.
But all I know is he's like this badass ninja. And actually there were other ninjas before him. I actually thought his name was Ninjak, not Ninja K. And like we see a file and there was a, like he said the same thing, there was a Ninja C or something like that. So it was like Ninja dash A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, and then K is him, I guess. So is it Ninjak or is it Ninja K?
It's Ninjak.
Yeah, I've always heard him called Ninjak.
Yeah, I've only heard anybody say Ninja K is a joke.
I guess they're in on the joke.
Yeah, that must be a long-running joke. All right.
Yeah, good book.
Hey, did we talk about that Valiant movie deal thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm blanking.
It's all right.
Yeah, another fun book this week was Action Comics 40.
The
first appearance of Bizarro in the New 52.
Wait. Seriously?
Well, the first of this square planet Bizarro. There was a Bizarro in Forever Evil.
Forever Evil.
And it was a clone of Superman that wasn't quite baked all the way through, so he came out a little crazy, but he got killed off. But this is the first time Superman's been pulled through into another dimension, and there's a square planet, and everybody's speaking backwards, and me hate you so much, and give him a hug. And,
you're so ugly.
Exactly. And of course, you know, we all understand, you know, what this is about, but we have the whole issue of Superman going, I don't get it. Like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, you know, it takes him a while to understand what to do and how to say things backwards. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun. It really was done in that kind of classic Saturday morning style where everybody who's there to help, and the one bad guy is Metallo. And Metallo is a normal person on this planet.
Right.
And he's sitting there at one point just talking to Superman. He's like, can you even imagine what it's like for me being stuck here with these people?
Because I've got a computer brain that functions properly and allows me to speak and think in coherent terms.
I don't want to read this now.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was fun to read, very whimsical to a certain extent, and Cooter's art is, you know, just really does this story justice. Like, it was on point.
It walked the line between funny and creepy a lot of times.
Oh, yes, because you know what's funny is that I think I don't recall very many instances of Bizarro World, like reading issues that involve Bizarro World, and I think the his rendition of the other characters, not just Bizarro, but of, like, Bizarro Lois, of Bizarro, you know, the other Bizarro type characters,
the Justice League Bizarro,
exactly, I think is heavily influenced by, you know, maybe some zombie comics, you know, like that type of style, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's where the creep factor comes in a little bit.
Like, a lot of them look like the skin is very loose on their face and
right.
Yeah.
Right. So I definitely see your point. It's a little different, you know, like, I guess it's not what we're used to when we think of what a Bizarro, you know, Batman would look like. So maybe that's what, you know, maybe that's what, where the creepiness factor comes in. And the Bizarro Lois, the very first appearance of Bizarro Lois is real creepy.
Yeah. And they even throw in a Bizarro, a Doomsday.
Yes.
Is part of the story. And he's got giant moose antlers. So yeah, overall, this was, I didn't expect much out of it, and maybe that helps, is that I was kind of looking at it like, oh, they're doing a Bizarro, and that's going to, you know, there's not going to be a lot of drama to it, and it's going to kind of take away and be a goofy issue. But this is one where the humor actually worked for me. I actually enjoyed this one quite a bit.
Nice.
All right. Anybody got anything else?
A couple quick hitters. I see that Roddy also read Silver Surfer number 10.
I did.
Now, have you been reading this, going back to the first issue,
yes,
and seeing how this has developed? So this was the way they resolved the way they resolved Galactus attempting to, and eventually, you know, spoiler, ding, 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 dealing with his hunger was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait, why didn't anyone think of this before? You know, this can't be the first time, right?
Right, but, you know, when your planet's being ripped apart, I don't think you're in a, you know, coherent state of mind at all times.
Right.
You know, at that time.
So I guess considering that they all had that experience, they could all, you know, kind of figure out, oh, wait, this is, you know, one of the survivors figures out, oh, wait, let's try that, you know?
Right. And another thing could be that, well, you saw that was the part where everybody, you know, caught on to the idea and tried to do it, and he said no. That could have also have happened, but, you know, he's like, he probably could have come across it before, and he was like, nope.
Right.
He's playing it for whatever other reason.
True
and
enough.
And the part after that, when, you know, that happens with Dawn after that, I was like, okay, they're really going to do this, and then they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was thinking,
he the new Surfer?
No, she was not, but it almost happened.
No, it was a very interesting read, and I think there's going to be ramifications from this going forward.
Oh, yeah, she has definitely been changed from the experience.
Yes, so it's going to be an interesting read going forward. I see someone else, Dirt, you read Miles Morales, the Ultimate Spidey number 11, right?
I did.
I'm disappointed that this is going to end.
I'm disappointed that the big reveal of this issue, the big spoiler, is actually on the cover. I mean, because here's Dr. Doom on the cover, and here's the big reveal at the end of the issue.
Yeah.
You're reading the whole thing going, there's no Dr. Doom, there's no Dr. Doom, and then suddenly, who's this mysterious guy who appears? Oh, it's Dr. Doom. That was the one thing that kind of bugged me about the whole thing, but yeah, overall.
Well, wasn't that revealed in the last issue? Like, they kind of hinted at it very strongly in the last issue, if I recall.
Maybe?
Because it didn't seem like it was that big a surprise to me. Maybe, like you said, maybe it was just because I saw it on the cover and I was expecting it. But
if it was better than them putting him on the cover and then not
being in the book at all.
Exactly.
That does happen sometimes.
Exactly.
And again, it did feel like a little rushed the way they kind of jump through everything, and I know they have to set it all up because there's only one more issue and then the whole Ultimate Universe implodes for Secret Wars. I guess my thing is that when I got done reading it and I realized, you know, there's only one issue left and then the whole Secret Ultimate Wars, Universe right. ends, is just got me thinking, like, there's a lot of stuff that they set up in this issue that if it gets resolved next issue, none of it matters anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, all the stuff, his girlfriend's parents work for Hydra.
Right.
And so now she loves her parents, but she hates Hydra, but she thinks that maybe Hydra is really, maybe they're trying to do the right thing.
Right.
She's trying to, you know, justify it by any means possible. And that's a great thing that you can use as an ongoing point of tension between two people in a relationship, mm-hmm. but there's only one issue left of this relationship. You know what I mean? And even if they do appear in the 616 universe after Secret Wars, it really doesn't matter because Hydra is not the same Hydra in the 616 universe, and Doom is not the same Doom, and, you know, everything else about
the universe. Well, Katie Bishop's not the same Katie Bishop.
Yeah, exactly. So it just feels like there's so much potential in the series that they're just going to flush down as part of Secret Wars and get rid of the Ultimate Universe.
Right.
Unless somehow Miles Morales exists as the only book in the Ultimate Universe after Secret Wars, maybe, but...
Or there's Ultimate End.
Bendis did have a Tumblr post saying the Ultimate Universe ain't over yet, which I didn't read through to find out what he was talking about. So.
Basically, well, that's all he basically teased, that, you know, it's not going, you know, stay tuned.
Right.
It'll be a 6-issue miniseries leading to a 6-issue miniseries leading to a 4-issue miniseries leading to another crossover with New Avengers.
Because there's a bunch of stuff that teased, like, wasn't it Rick Remender setting up the whole Hydra stuff, and Cap obviously just can't go away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's carried over into Secret Wars and...
Well, although there is an ad in the middle of this issue with, it says, in 1 month, time runs out, and you see Miles Morales fading off into white. When everything ends, the Secret Wars commence, and it's for issue 12 of Miles Morales, the Ultimate Spider-Man. So they even have an ad in the middle of the book that heavily hints that the next issue is the last issue.
Well, I mean, I was about to say, the end of the issue has something that pops up. There's two books this week, I think, that I read that had definitive statements on the next issue being the last issue.
This was to be concluded.
Right. One was this issue, and one was Fantastic Four, where they had a page devoted to what happens next in the last issue of this book.
Yeah. Hmm. Did you read Fantastic Four?
Speaking of Fantastic Four, 644, they're ramping up to the end of this particular iteration of the Fantastic Four. There's a lot of 90s Marvel that is in this book. It's kind of nice to see it come back.
Good, you know, early 90s or bad late
90s?
It's a mix of everything. It's a mix of everything. Because some people like Sleepwalker. Some, you know, the stuff I really hate.
Well, I hope it's not Heroes Reborn in there.
It's there.
No.
It's there. Heroes Reborn is there. You know?
That's what this is all about, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Heroes Reborn is there, and you know, it's kind of fun to see it brought back and kind of toyed with tweaked a little bit here and there. Ultimately, it does revolve around a nightmare version of Franklin's little pocket universe or pocket world, and we see who the big bad is that's been corrupting the pocket universe, and... I won't spoil who it is, but there's a big bad. It's not that big a bad. You kind of have to be old school Marvel to appreciate who it is. You know, I'll be happy to see. I hate to say this, given that they did show what some of the. I don't think we talked about it in the news, but they did show what some of the Fantastic Four uniforms were going to look like in the new Awful movie. and I'd be happy to see and I'd be happy to see Fantastic Four as much of a fan I am of the characters and the family unit that they are. I'd like to see them go away for a little while. They could use a break. You know, I'll be happy to see that. And look, Thor was better for it, you know, after a long break. Straczynski and Coypel brought him back to a new status quo, and obviously, you know, he's been rebooted since, but, you know, Thor came back and, you know, came back in conjunction with the movie, and, you know, the character has experienced, I think, a bit of a rebirth in terms of fandom, in terms of, you know, appreciation. So maybe FF can do that too, hopefully without any sort of connection to this, you know, new awful movie.
And that actually has me reading Fantastic Four. I will point out how interesting it is that, at least as of right now, there's no Fantastic Four-related domains in Battleworld. There are a couple of X-Men, you know, war zones and books and what domain stuff out there dedicated to X-Men, but no Fantastic Four.
Well, listen, maybe let's be honest.
They're so entrenched in the regular 616 that they really didn't have anything special for them.
But what I was going to say is, you know, speaking as, you know, like a little bit more of a, more than a casual Fantastic Four fan, let's use the last 20 years. They really haven't had very many storylines that are just sort of iconic. There's a couple, right? They all, you know, like they involve Doom. So, you know, other than those storylines, what realities or what storylines would they want to revisit, you know, as a, and make part of a battle world? So, you know, I definitely understand why there's a dearth or lack of FF-centric portions of Battleworld.
I mean, they could do that silly Fantastic Five book, but there wasn't nothing
true.
In there.
That's true. You know what's funny? Are we at Rapid Fire?
Sure.
Yes.
Rapid Fire. Spider-Man and the X-Men number 4. I do not understand why I enjoy reading this book. It is so much fun. This
You're
is
enjoying it.
Yes, yeah. Again, a candidate for Click of the Week for me. A sleeper hit for this week for me was Nova Annual number 1. I read this like literally waiting online for something, and I was very surprised at how fun a read it was. Duggan had a great story written for Doc Green, aka the Hulk, and Nova kind of ironing out or smoothing over some of the things that obviously came up when Hulk was whatchamacallit inverted. You know, so filling in some of the plot points that happened prior to Nova's involvement in the Black Vortex crossover. Guardians Team Up number 2 was awful.
Was it Mark Adams' art, or is it they continued the last?
It continued the last issue. It continued the story from the first issue. It was pretty pointless. It didn't even have Art Adams' art to help sell it to me. So
who was the artist?
Stefan Rue. The art wasn't bad, but the story was awful. it just was. Let's see what else. Superior Iron Man number 6. Pepper Potts comes back in a big way, and you see her plan set in motion. You know, she is pushing back, fighting back against the Superior Iron Man. Tim mentioned something earlier about the sales on the book not being that great. Listen. I think they're telling a good story. I think that I'm not hate reading this as much as I was Superior Spider-Man. I like where they're, you know, I like the fact that they're empowering Pepper, or at least restoring her to where she was when Fraction was handling the character during that whole Invincible Iron Man run. You know, making her a very capable foil and a capable, you know, almost hero in her own right. So, you know, I'm happy to read that. Rapid fire, what else? Captain Marvel number 13 finally wraps up the story, this very, very long story arc with Captain Marvel being in space.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it's over. I really don't understand what happened in this whole, you know, like, I don't know if it's like 4 or 5 issues or 6 issues of the story arc. I'm glad that it's over. I'd be happy to see a new story arc, a new direction for the book. Amazing Spider-Man number 16. Peter Parker is picking up the pieces after Spider-Verse, and we see, I guess, you know, more corporate espionage, more The best way I can put it is all of the Spidey supporting characters have gotten involved in big business. They're all involved with Alchemax, the new corporation that's a precursor or a big player in the 2099 continuity. So it's kind of funny to see these characters, the supporting characters from Spidey's cast of characters showing up as part of this corporate espionage and corporate machinations. To that sort of lead into the 2099 reality. So, listen, I know you guys aren't the biggest fans of where Slott is going with Amazing Spider-Man. I figured this is you're going to keep going post Secret Wars. They're just going to, I guess, put it on hold at some point. Because it seems like they're not changing anything. They're just sort of developing the storyline as it goes along. You know, Peter, post Spider-Verse, and his continuity and Parker Industries being his new profession, his new day job. So, that's where that is. All new X-Men number 37. You see, I read a lot this week. Waiting on a lot of lines, sitting through a lot of, waiting for a lot of appointments. All new X-Men number 37 dealt with Jean Grey, young Jean Grey, and Emma Frost, the White Queen, who has been secretly restoring her broken mutant powers. And this issue revolves around Emma Frost teaching Jean Grey how to better wield her telekinesis, and it's sort of a bonding issue between the two of them, which is really weird. It was kind of an off-putting issue for me. I didn't know exactly how to take this issue. It seemed like a filler issue. I don't know if they're setting up. I haven't read the solicits. I don't know what they're setting up in All New X-Men going forward. Is it the Utopians?
Supposedly.
Something like that. I guess this is a filler issue before that, so.
I don't know. It's all out of order now, so I'm not sure what's supposed to happen when.
Right.
Yeah, there's another Black Vortex after this, isn't there?
Oh,
God. I think Utopian stuff, I assume, I guess, now is after Black Vortex.
Okay.
But I can start complaining about other Bendis books.
Yeah. And Rapid Fire. Did I miss anything else? No, I got everything I wanted to get, Rapid Fire.
What's in the week?
Okay, wait. Hey, let me do a one or two run for fire. Shaft number four. Shaft continues to be a bad Joker. he's on a case. He's people are kind of undercutting him, thinking he's dumb or whatnot, and he's kind of setting out to put all the pieces together. And that book continues to be really good. Let's see. We also have Federal Bureau of Physics number 19. The plan to save the world is ongoing. There is probably going to be an upcoming hitch thanks to some shoddy workmanship. And the smartest little girl in the world is probably going to play some part in it, I'm imagining. Let's hope. But also a good read. I think that's about it.
Oh, by the way, Ragnarok number 4 came out by Walt Simonson. Lots of Simonson, Norse god goodness. So that was a lot of fun to read.
Did anybody read Bill and Ted?
I tried. I tried the first couple of pages. I couldn't remember what happened in the last movie. I hate to say it's like a direct follow-up to that. So.
Right. They said as much.
All right, clicks of the week.
Mine is going to be Star Wars number 3.
Nice.
Good one.
Good ending to the arc.
Nice.
Good characterization in the movies.
Nice. You know what? I'm going to follow. Listen, I am on board with this book. It's so surprisingly fun for me to read. Spider-Man and the X-Men number 4.
You got me wanting to read that again, and I put that on my do not read pile just because
it's actually pretty fun.
It's a fun read.
I like the art. It just seems it's.
The concept is silly.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter, but it's like, I know this book, that there's no point to this book because it's not going to go anywhere.
I think it is going somewhere. I think it's actually developing these, tertiary X characters and really throwing, Spider-Man into the X universe is just fun. It's still weird to see him interact with Storm the way he is because both characters have been around for so long. You would think that they would have more, or at least she would have more respect for him.
They don't too much like Spidey around that camp, or they just put up with him, which is weird considering they have Deadpool. But just that's another story. But yeah, that's been pretty fun.
Okay. I will go with Action Comics 40 just for the Saturday morning goodness.
You hated this awful book.
That's right.
Nice. Well, I will go with, it was going to be a toss-up between Star Wars 3 and Ant-Man 3. I'm going to go with Ant-Man 3.
Nice.
Because I enjoyed reading that. It was pretty amusing.
So there you go.
There you go. You know what's funny? Look, what did we all pick? Three out of the four picks. Tim, what did you pick again?
Star Wars.
Star Wars. See, look, three out of the four picks were like kind of funny books this week.
And probably after I read Ant-Man, I'll probably want to pick that. all my real clips of the week, so stuff like end up reading like the following couple days after comic books.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. I thought about this during the show. I'm going to start stealing your Rapid Vine reviews.
No, you can't do that. That's mine. I patented that.
I need to do something on Vine. I'll find my own gimmick.
All right. You
better. Well, instead of a mask, you want to wear a fedora?
Yeah, right?
I've got an Iron Man.
Yeah, there you go.
Tonight's Comic Book Chronicles. Can y'all hear me?
Your picture's frozen.
Hello?
There you go.
Okay. I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight's Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay!
Cheer us. Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOG98 and at TheClickNation. RoddyCat is at RoddyCat and at NewsNerdsNeed. Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. And Agent 70 is at Agent_70. We'll be back next Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Hopefully right at around 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Google willing.
And me sharing out the correct links, willing.
That's right.
So we got Comic Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Yay!